Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Acts 26. Verse 12 is where we will pick up the main text. I do believe we have notes that have been passed out or are in process. Okay, we're all set. Acts 26, verse 12, New International Version. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand up on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I'll rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Verse 19, "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven." Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done in the first service, now what you'll do in the second. I pray, give us living understanding here in these next moments, the completing moments of this service. May we be forever changed. Have your way. Holy Spirit, come and mark us. I would to God that you would take your finger and you'd write on the fleshly tablets of our heart this morning. May we be forever changed. If you have the freedom to pray in your heavenly language, go ahead and do it now. God, we thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I said earlier, Pastor Carol and I, we've been traveling. I was gone for about 12 days, missed one Sunday. Hope you enjoyed Ivan Tate. Yeah, powerful minister of the gospel. I know many were touched. I think we had some 60 people or something saved on Sunday morning and Sunday night together. Is that right? Approximately. And that's a beautiful thing, to see 60 people come to Christ for the first time or make a recommitment. Isn't that beautiful? And then we do our very best to follow up with them over this past week and to see them added to the church. That's why we're here. God has used our church, King's Cathedral and Chapels. Now, it's the body of Christ. We're a very small part of the body of Christ, but he's used our church to really bring a worldwide impact. And you don't really see that unless you go to one of these conferences that are in the islands generally. Now, Alaska has become a hub, so when we have conferences, like in February, we'll have our power conference that's on the President's Day weekend. I believe that's the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, I got that right? 16th through the 20th, you can mark your calendar. There'll be advertising that comes out on that, and we're flying in prophets from all over the nation, some of which are a part of our church, others are not, like the Hammonds will be with us, and there's discussions about others, and we'll see how that all works out. So we'll have people that'll fly in from outside of Alaska and come, and you get to experience this hub of activity that really is impacting the world from Alaska. But when you go to Hawaii, where that church has been there for 42 years, 43 years, actually longer, but under the leadership of Dr. Morocco, our senior global pastor. You get to see the worldwide impact, churches in Philippines, hundreds of churches in the Philippines, and in Vietnam, there's an explosion of the gospel in Vietnam. God's pouring out a spirit in Italy and in Spain. He's pouring out a spirit in Africa through Kings. Now, I mean, of course, the body of Christ, but I mean through the vision of Kings. He's touching the nation, the U.S. of A. I think we have some 160 churches here in the U.S. of A. The rest of them are international, totaling approximately 680-something churches, 683, I think the count is. We're one church in many locations, and it is absolutely amazing. One of the prophetic words that came forth at that power conference was that God is raising up six different hubs, six different streams that would then bring a great convergence that would bring an impact around the world. And Alaska is one of them. Can you say amen? And there, of course, are others. And we're very thankful to be in this place with you, serving God, to see tremendous change. And it's nothing like home. And there's no place like home. It's so great to be back here, as like I said, in the 3 weeks of the fall that we have. You know, I feel led to pray for our hunters. God, we pray for all those that are hunting. There's many, 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 many people hunting right now. We pray, God, for protection. We pray for good weather. We pray for giant moose. In Jesus' name, that each and every one would fill their freezers and you would fulfill your purpose and destiny even through them. Keep them safe. Bring them home. In Jesus' name. Amen. I remember that 1 year. Anybody remember that 1 year? It rained so much. They were trapped on the other side of rivers all over the place. Anybody remember that? May that not happen this year in Jesus' name. To summarize the vision of Kings, in one word, I would say it's an apostolic vision. We're in a series on vision, and so this is the fourth message, I believe, in that. And he said, why would you preach on vision? Because if you don't have vision, you're blind. If you don't have vision, you'll perish, the Bible says, that people cast off restraint when there's no vision. If you read the book of Samuel, see that the people had no, there was no widespread revelation. The word of the Lord was rare. There was no vision. That's the picture. But then when Samuel came through, Hannah was one of the greatest Old Testament prophets. Vision was restored. And you got to have vision. Come on, lift a hand to heaven and say, God, open my eyes. I've shared before in the book of Kings, 2 Kings, prophet is surrounded in a city called Dothan, and the enemy wants to kill him because he's been prophesying where all the attacks of the enemy would take place upon Israel. I don't know how you're going to attack a prophet who always hears what they would say even in their bedroom. So the attack comes and they surround Dothan, and the servant of the prophet gets up and he's terrified because he sees the army of the enemy. He wakes up the prophet, he says, we're doomed, basically. I'm paraphrasing. The prophet says, no, more are with us than are against us. Lord, open his eyes. And he saw the horses and chariots of God all around the army of the enemy. And you know the rest of the story. They're stricken with blindness, and God gives them victory once again. The difference between the two is the servant had no vision. He couldn't see. He was blind, and as a result, he had no faith. He had no hope. But the prophet had vision, the prophet had hope, the prophet had faith. If you can't see what God's doing in the earth, if you can't see what God wants to do with your life, if you can't see what God's doing even in this house, then you will be blinded, and then you'll have a tendency to drop out of life. You have to have vision. Come on, lift a hand and say, oh God, open my eyes. So we've been preaching along those lines. And this message I've entitled The Apostolic Church. You need to understand and have a vision that this is the kind of church we are. Now, there are other churches like this, and there are some that aren't. We are unique in that we're an apostolic church. We have an apostolic vision. In fact, Dr. Morocco coined the phrase, you've heard me say it if you've been around for any length of time, we have what is called progressive apostolic vision. Everybody say that. Progressive apostolic vision. I was talking to Dr. Morocco yesterday, and we were talking about the message he's preaching and what I'm preaching, and he's sharing some big news, and I will share that towards the end of the service. And I asked him if I could share it. He's sharing it for the first time on Maui, which he did already in the first service, so I'm going to share it in this one. I didn't want to do it ahead of time. and just make sure that I didn't get the news out before he did, because it's a big deal. But it's a beautiful picture of the kind of church we are. It's unusual. The word apostate, it's not unusual biblically, it's just unusual, although more and more common. It's just unusual in past generations. To summarize again the vision of Kings in one word, apostolic. Progressive apostolic vision. Let me define the word apostolic or apostle. It's derived from classical Greek meaning apostolos, meaning one who is sent away. Word stelo, to send, apo, away from. The literal meaning in the English is the word for emissary. Emissary. The word apostle has two meanings biblically. Broader meaning is a messenger, someone who's just sent by God. The narrower meaning is one of the 12 apostles of Christ, of Jesus. The more general meaning is the word translated into the Latin word mission, or mission. Missionary is Latin for apostle. Did you know that? It's interesting. I didn't know that until last night. The Apostle Paul is speaking here in context of Acts 26 to King Agrippa. He's sharing his testimony, sharing his story. He's sharing the vision that God gave him for his life. He shares it in Acts 22. He shares it in Acts 9, and he shares it here in Acts 26, and that's the text that we read. And as he's sharing this testimony of how he was born again, you see that there's this vision that God gives him. He gives his life to Christ. I mean, that had to be quite a moment for the Apostle Paul. Who are you? As he's been blinded, he's on the ground. I'm Jesus. Oh, snap. I mean, he's been persecuting the church. He's serving God with all his might and actually serving incorrectly. And he was deceived. And in that moment, his eyes were open spiritually, but in the natural, he was blinded. Literally, blinders come on his eyes. But God cast vision. The Lord cast vision to what his life was about. And God confirms the vision, which is important. It's important to have vision. It's important to have it confirmed. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the Apostle Paul from this text and others, and we're going to see a composite picture of what an apostle actually is, and we're going to take that and we're going to overlay it upon our church, because first of all, the Apostle Paul is more written about the Apostle Paul, and he wrote three quarters basically the New Testament and all the epistles, which is a Greek word for letter. And you can look at his life and see what an apostolic vision looks like. The Apostle Paul was a sent one. Jesus appeared to them. Some say an apostle is one who has to have Jesus appear to him. There's a lot of different definitions, and there's a lot of scholars that have written all kinds of books, and some of them are good and some maybe not so much. But his life is well worth studying and looking at. And his life inspires me, a man on a mission, a man driven by vision, a man driven by apostolic, progressive apostolic vision. Let me define that. Progressive, that means it grows, it's progressive, it moves. Vision is always progressive. Let me say it this way, a vision from God is always progressive. It starts out, he gives you an idea, gives you a thought, gives you something to move forward, whether in your business or maybe in ministry, or, you know, some marketplace thing, or politics, whatever it may be. And you begin to move forward in vision, and then as soon as you begin to move forward and you're faithful in the little, he expands you. He's like, good job, now go here. I mean, we were just a church all those years ago when my mom first started coming all those years ago, and eventually I came, and I got gloriously saved and filled with the Spirit. All those years ago, there was three extensions. Some 30 years ago. I think I first walked in the door in 1992. So some 30 years ago, it was three extensions. Now there's 683. How did that happen? Our vision was just a Pacific Rim vision. Alaska was the first church outside of the Hawaiian Islands. How did that happen? Well, somebody just had a burden. Ken Gable had a burden for Alaska. I was in his life group. He's like, man, Alaska needs a church like this. We're like, great. So they went up there and we started realizing, man, that's actually part of the Pacific Rim. So in time, some kind of a longer story, it'll be in the book, which I'm writing, it'll be done in December in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? It grew, progressive apostolic vision. So God confirms a vision to the Apostle Paul, not only speaking to him, but he speaks to this guy, Ananias. Ananias knows that he's come to persecute the church, and God speaks to him there in Acts 9. This man, go, verse 15, Ananias. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and to their kings, before the people of Israel. I'll show him how much he must suffer for my name. So it's fascinating. He goes and he meets the Apostle Paul, who's not the Apostle Paul, he's just Saul. Later, he takes his Greek name, which is Paul. But he meets him. Can you imagine? You know that God's spoken to you. You're blind for 3 days. In walks this guy. Hey, Saul, I heard about you. I heard you're God's chosen instrument to the Gentiles. Who told him that? God. God confirmed the vision to him. It had to be a powerful moment for him. The converted Christian killer now. And over this three-year period, God constantly is confirming to the Apostle Paul. Galatians 1, you can read it. Acts 22, you hear about how he's praying. In verse 21, the Lord said to me, go, I'll send you far away to the Gentiles. Paul's whole life is surrounded by fulfilling the vision. What is your whole life about? No, but just think about that for a second. I mean, really, what is your whole life about? Because if it's about making money, you've missed it. What is your whole life about? If it's about getting more likers and fame, you've also missed it. If it's about gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy, and accruing more toys, he who has the most toys wins, newsflash, home slice, no. The Apostle Paul's whole life surrounded, his whole life surrounded about fulfilling this vision, and so too our lives must be centered on a vision from God. Listen, he's the one that made you. He's the one that knit you together in your mother's womb. Maybe you didn't know your mom, but you had one. And God knows you. There's no accidents. There's no mistakes. You said, I wasn't wanted. That should be, listen, God knows. Your parents didn't know what they were doing. Said, no, I was wanted. Well, fantastic. I had a wooden spoon when I was born. Great. I had a silver spoon. It doesn't matter. Every single person has a calling, has a purpose, has a destiny from heaven. Shout amen. Amen. Shout a better amen. Amen. You have a purpose. You're not a mistake. You have a divine assignment from God. And in actual fact, you'll be judged and rewarded according to whether you've fulfilled and how well you've done. And we'll talk about that in a little bit later. So the Apostle Paul knew that. And he was driven by, you say, Pastor, I've never had an experience like the Apostle Paul. Okay, well, maybe not. And that's okay. If you're breathing here and you're alive today, raise your hand if you're breathing and you're alive. Then God has a plan. Come on, someone say, God's got a plan for me. He has a plan for me. God is real, and he's made you in his image, and he has a plan for your life. That's a beautiful thing to meditate on, to think about. And he might not have given you a vision like the Apostle Paul, but you can come and be a part of a vision that's bigger than yourself here at King's. And here's what I've found. I'll quote my wife. When she first got here, she couldn't really dream much, didn't really have any vision. There's a funny thing about getting near around visionaries, getting around people who are changing the world, getting around people who have faith, gets on you. My wife is a great woman of faith and filled with vision, as am I, and it would not have happened had I not come into King's, and it's growing. Can you say amen? Amen. So here at King's, we are called to be an apostolic church, and the Apostle Paul is a visionary. In fact, in every person that's called, we're all supposed to be people with vision, but there are certain people that are really visionaries. And the Apostle Paul is a visionary. So an important aspect of an apostolic church is that it's marked by vision. It's marked by what? It's marked by vision. There's other aspects Some would say, well, there has to be signs and wonders and miracles. I'm going to agree with that. I think there has to be, I believe, according to Scripture in Ephesians 4, there has to be the fivefold ministry gifts on display, functioning and flowing. Those fivefold gifts are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. I do believe that that's on display here by the grace of God through a company of people. I'm so thankful. You know why he does that? He does it to equip the saints. If you're a saint, raise your hand. You all better raise your hand. Unless, of course, you're not born again. If you're not born again, you don't have to raise your hand. But if you're born again, you're a saint. Come on, somebody say, I'm a saint. You don't have to be voted in. But 500 years after you're dead, they then vote you in. Did they do a miracle? I hope so. You know, you're voted in by the blood. The blood is what, come on, hagios. Saints, we're holy ones. Washed by the blood. Some of you are looking at me with a horrible tone of voice right there. Come on, you're a saint. Now you should act like one, but you are one according to the blood. All right, a look at the Apostle Paul's life. Listen to this sentence. A look at the Apostle Paul's life relating it to being an apostolic church. Do you understand what I'm doing? I'm overlaying the aspects of the Apostle Paul's life to aspects of what our church should be and to actually what our church is. He's a visionary. A visionary is a man on a mission. We're a church on a mission. There's no way to stop someone like that, and they tried. They tried to stop the Apostle Paul. How do you stop someone who can't be stopped? The only way to stop the Apostle Paul is to kill him, and they did. But, you know, he's in heaven now. How do you stop a church that's on a mission, not from man? How do you stop a church? How do you stop a person that's full of vision that's not going to stop? They're just not going to stop. They don't stay down. Stay down. I can't. Why? Because I report to somebody that's higher than you. Quit. Don't know how. Don't know how to quit. What are you doing? I am trying to fulfill the vision, so help me God. You know, something that happened to Dr. Morocco, I feel the Holy Ghost now. Hey, glory to God. Something that happened to Dr. Morocco that deeply affected me, and you've heard it here. It's even been in some of our productions. He had a vision or a dream, and the reason we say that is he can't remember if it was a dream or a vision. A dream is when you're sleeping, a vision when you're awake. But it marked him in such a way that he shared it in multiple messages, and he shared it with me, and it impacted me and my wife so much, and my staff, and this church so much, that I actually feel like I had the experience. It's so real to me that it like has become mine, although that didn't happen. I've had other things happen, but this is the dream slash vision. He's at the end of his life, he's dead, and he's before the throne. He's standing before the throne of God, and the Lord says to him, son, what happened? And James Dwight Morocco says to the Lord, I couldn't do it. I didn't have the money. I didn't have the people. I wasn't smart enough. And he begins to list all these excuses of why he couldn't do all that God had called him to do, which is plant all of these churches and do what we're doing. And the Lord says, oh, son, didn't you know I would have helped you if you only tried? So if you want to define King's Cathedral and Chapels, we try hard. And the Lord helps us. I mean, that really is it. When you have a vision from God, you're on a mission from God. And the mission in the Apostle Paul's life, as well as in this church, is it required a team. Required a team. Part of the vision here of King's Alaska, I am believing for, along with my staff and along with you, I welcome you to believe with me for 10,000 people to be a part of this church. He said, how are you going to do that? I don't know, but we started with like no one. And when I got here 17 years ago, there was 20, maybe there was 30. So now we're, you know, thousands of people expanding left and right, leaders being raised up. I mean, how did any of it happen? So why would you even make a goal like that? Because you make goals, you believe God. I'm believing for a tithe in the entire population of the valley. That's not the whole state. I'm so convicted and saying, sorry, I'm believing for the whole state. I just get so rebuked. The Lord's like, no, the whole state. So I'm like, yeah, right. Why not? According to your faith may be done unto you. Come on, I used to have faith that I could make it through the day, and then God touched me and I realized I could believe to make it through the week. And after that, he began to expand my faith to say, man, I could make it through the month. Hallelujah. And after that, I thought, man, I might be able to actually have a life that make a difference. He said, yeah, if you brush your teeth and put on deodorant, I'll give you a wife. And then God gave me a wife. Come on. Then I began to believe, man, I could actually be a good father. And he gave me children, and I began to believe for more. Now, can I tell you something? Vision is progressive. I don't know what you're going on, what's going on in your life, or what you're going through right now, but God's got a plan for you. And so we're believing for that. We figured out how many people it'll take. If you do the math, and these are statistics, worldwide statistics, for every one person you have serving or leading in a church, you'll have 3.5 people in the church. So if you take 10,000 and you divide it by 3.5, that tells you how many leaders and how many people we have to have serving. It's approximately 2,900 people. How's that gonna happen? Same way it's happened from 20. We have a vision to reach the lost at any cost, a vision to make disciples, a vision to plant churches all over the world. And I have especially a burden for America. Takes a team of people. I think I'll tell you the news now. Dr. Morocco, over these years, he's 73 years old, and over these recent year has been very troubled about America, as have I. Anybody else troubled about America? So we need more churches like this one. We need more churches like this all over the country. Why? Because it's not an economic problem. It's a sin problem. And if people could get converted, get born again, come on, I know some of you. Some of you were meaner than junkyard dogs. Pastor Vince. Some of you were trouble. Then you got, thank God you got saved. Come on, John Duke. Thank God you got delivered. Thank God. And if God could take you and you were broken and you were lost and you were hurting and you were a liability to the state, a liability maybe to, come on, costing the state money. But then you got saved and converted and transformed and filled with the Spirit and called. Now what? Now what? You know what has to happen? Everybody in America's got to get saved. If that would happen, they wouldn't be castrating children. This land would be far different if we had a great awakening. We need another great awakening. Can you say amen? Amen. The Dr. Morocco troubled by that. And we have a church in Dallas, Texas that he visited. He was there. Dallas is a hub, really, to many major airlines. You can get anywhere in the U.S. of A. in 3 hours from Dallas, Texas. Unless it's Alaska, and then it's 4.5. Or Hawaii, also longer. And he began to have a burden, and God spoke to him to make a hub in Dallas. Well, in Dallas, we have this building that needs a lot of work. We have a very small congregation, a huge building. And so the Lord began to call him to go to Dallas at 73 years old. Dr. Morocco has made a commitment to spend half of his time basically in Dallas, Texas, to build a church there. Listen, 73, a lot of people think about retiring. You know why he's not? He's not because he has a vision and he's burdened and he says, Lord, I'm just going to try. Why would anybody do that? Because you can't stop a man on a mission. You can't stop a church on a mission. So he had he looked for a lot of confirmation. He asked God for a house. Nothing happened. God had to talk to Pastor Colleen, because if she's not in agreement, it ain't happening. Come on, it's not God. If your wife's not in agreement, your husband's not in agreement, it's not God. Some of you haven't figured that out yet. That's just bonus right there. If you and the wife are not in agreement, you and the husband are not in agreement, it's not God. Maybe the timing's wrong. I don't know. Don't do anything out of accord. Always do things in agreement. And so God turned her heart. She's like, I'm willing, Jimmy. I'm willing. So she leaves her beautiful home to go be in Dallas. And so he said, well, I'm going to pray for a house. Prayed for a house. Nothing happened. And then Dr. Morocco was praying. And the Lord said, you didn't tell me what kind of house you want. So he wrote it all down, all the details. And it's like, okay, I want that kind of house. Literally, the next couple of weeks, miraculously, the house showed up exactly what he wanted. And it's very detailed. And he was able to get the house. God blessed him. It's just a total miracle. Why would we do stuff like that? We're an apostolic church. We're a vision-driven church. And the fulfilling of apostolic vision, I'm right back in your notes, is dependent upon ongoing receiving of instructions from the Lord. This whole building, this building was finished based on, well, it was built based on revelation. It was a series of dreams. It'll be in the book, as like I said, I'm writing it. Every other week, especially in the last year or so, it would be every other week, something that would turn the thing on its ear, whether it be a money problem or some sort of engineering problem or some sort of obstacle or an Arctic hurricane. Who I knew, who ever heard of that? Hurricanes over 75 mile an hour winds is a hurricane. It was an Arctic hurricane that we had here. It was a principality that tried to hurt us, and it did. But God released dreams, God released visions all along the way to lead us about what to do and to resolve the problem. It's not enough just to have a vision. Everybody say it's not enough to have a vision. You need ongoing instruction because it's fluid. There's a dynamic in vision where you have to, come on, the play is not always a tight end, short button hook pass. You gotta be on your toes. You gotta be reading the field, praying in the spirit. The enemy will throw you a curveball and God will say, move, do this, do that. I'm gonna tell you one moment, one of the greatest moments, it'll be in the book. One of the greatest moments was when I was going to make a decision that I was convinced was God. As I'm making the decision, I'm on the phone. And I'm very passionate about I'm very passionate about the decision I was making. And I knew it was right. The Lord spoke to me, clear as a bell, and said, son, do you want to die on this mountain? I'm talking to somebody. I'm dropping the hammer on something. And they're talking, now I can't hear them. I'm standing in a parking lot in Hawaii in the middle of COVID. I said, what? He said, don't die on this mountain. What? And I knew what it meant. He just didn't want me to make that decision, let it go. So I said to the other person on the line, I said, you know what? We're gonna let it go. And they said, what? I said, we're just gonna let it go. Okay, pastor, whatever you want to do. I said, okay, great. Awesome. Hug him the phone, put the phone on my chest, and was like, oh God. I mean, the weight of it, I can't tell you the weight. I felt like it was crushing my bones. I open my eyes and I look and I'm lying on the asphalt in the middle of a parking lot. You say, why would that be? It literally pushed me to the ground. And I had to take a few deep breaths. And I wept as I let something go that was so important to me. The Lord said, don't do that. Oh, it all makes sense to me now. And as I look back, you need ongoing instruction in the vision. If you go just with blinders on, nope, he told me to do it. No, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to obey the Lord. Well, the Lord's trying to speak to you right now, right before you go off a cliff. You need ongoing instruction. And you'll see that in the Apostle Paul's life. He wanted to go to Asia, which is, it's near Asia. It's actually Turkey. Asia, we think China. We think that's not where it was. It was Turkey, Near East. He wants to go there, and the Holy Spirit says no. Now, do they need the gospel? Everybody say yes. Yeah. Why would the Holy Spirit say no? When you later on, you look at what was happening, it's very possible that Peter was there preaching. And he could. They didn't have internet. They had the Holy Ghost. Man, I think we might flow more in the Holy Ghost if we'd get rid of some of the distractions. And yet he's there. Holy Spirit says, no, makes no sense at all. Then he has a dream to go to Macedonia, and he goes to Macedonia. He's a Macedonian man. He goes down there, has this great, you know, outpouring, and God puts together his team. Why, he wants to go to Ephesus, but he can't go to Ephesus until this team is put together. You see the hand of Almighty God in the middle of the vision, bringing the gospel of the Gentiles. This fluid movement of the Spirit. While the devil tries to attack, he loses at every front. But you must be sensitive to God to speak to you in the midst of the vision. He speaks. How does he speak? Quickly. Through prophetic word. Lots of scripture. Go look it up yourself. Lots of scripture. It gives a prophetic word. Through the inner witness of the Spirit. We had that storm hit, you know, but the August before, and Minister Vicky knows it full well. She helps me with an admin along with others, but specifically at that time, we had an insurance policy that needed to be paid if we wanted to retain it. It was a special builder's risk policy. I had half the people say, you don't need that anymore because you're in the building. The windows will be put on soon and you don't really need it. Yeah, soon. Windows be put on soon. We all thought the windows would be put on soon. A year and a half later, the windows are on. So I'm looking at this policy that's worth $9,000. I talked to some people like, you don't need it. Other people like, well, you better get that. I talked to Dr. Morocco. He says, well, you know, you should probably pray and might be wise to have it, but you just obey the Lord, Daniel. I love the authority he gives me. I'm like, can you just tell me? Like, well, you pray. I don't want to spend $9,000 on an insurance policy because we could use $9,000 for something else. This whole thing is by faith, you understand. It's not the owner of Amazon come and write a check and here we are with the lights on. That's not what happened. You missed a great place to say amen. And may the owner of Amazon, whatever his name is, maybe send us a check. Jeff, you can send us a check. We'd receive it. Amen. So it comes to the last day, and I'll never forget where I was sitting in front of my computer. Minister Vicky calls me and says, you know, this is the last day for that policy, Pastor. You want to let it go? Because I didn't have peace about letting it go, and I didn't have peace about getting it. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, yeah, I'm letting it go. I start sending the email, yeah, we're no longer. The longer I type the email, which is like half a sentence, because I just use two fingers, I lose my peace, and I know there's no way we cannot buy it. Do you know, $2.5 million later, worth of recovery from the insurance company on a policy that would have been you know what, God would have provided some other way, but aren't you glad for insurance? Is anybody else glad for insurance? He spoke to me, no, no, get it. All right, the inner witness of the Spirit. It wasn't like I had a word from the Lord. I've had business people say, no, you always get that. I'm like, okay, but you know, for me, was in my court, I just had no peace, and so we got it. It's a miracle. Like I said, he would have provided some other way. You know, I'm convinced that we make mistakes all along the way. How many of you know that? We don't try to make them, we try not to. However, you know, if you pray and you fast and you believe God and you cry out to God, even if you make a mistake, he can turn it. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about you didn't make the best decision. Well, he can take that, turn it, and make it, and he can turn it around. Then again, you can go around the mountain for 40 years more. Dreams and visions are another way that God confirms and God directs. Constantly, the Apostle Paul getting dreams and visions. The same thing has happened to us. This is how our church is. We're an apostolic church. What kind of church are we? What kind of church are we? An apostolic church. All right. The vision drove him forward. The vision drives us forward as well. And you'll see that the Apostle Paul, he just could not be stopped. You know, I didn't feel well this morning. And I was thinking about the fact that, I mean, I really didn't feel well. Just have a head cold. And truth is, I probably wore myself out. Preached 9 times over the weekend where I was. Somebody said, how was your vacation in Hawaii? I'm like, would have been better to stay home on one hand. But on the other hand, you know, we're there serving God and doing what we're called to do. I think over the weekend we preached 6 messages, 2 call-out rooms. I mean, and, you know, then going to a staff training with 4 hours of sleep. I mean, just grinding. Somebody said, you need a break. You're right. I'm going to take one tomorrow. This morning, I woke up. I didn't sleep much last night. Why would you do that? Because I'm called to it. Now, if I really needed to stay home, my wife would have made me. Why do you do what you do? Why do we do what we do? Why would we have a prayer meeting in Anchorage? Why would we do what we do? Why would we push like we push? Because we have a vision to reach the lost, a vision to see people saved and healed and delivered. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, God's speaking to us. Let me hurry up. Be convinced of biblical realities. Be convinced. You see, if you're not convinced of these things, they don't drive you in vision. There really is hell. There really is heaven. You got to be convinced of that. If you're not, you'll never witness. You'll never share your faith if you're not really convinced there's a heaven or a hell. Can I have keys, please? What happens after death? 2 Corinthians 5, to be out of bodies, to be present with the Lord. Verse 6. The second thing is an aspect of what happens after death, and I want you to turn to this one. 2 Corinthians 5, I'm almost done. 2 Corinthians 5, 10. This one gets me. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. All of us have to give an account for our lives. In verse 11, he says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Think about that. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. See, he's convinced that when a person dies without Christ, they go to a very real place called hell. And I am convinced as well. And it drives me. As a pastor, I've avoided the thought and the meditation that I'll stand before God to give an account for your life. But as I matured, I've sort of muscled up. It's a good thing to think about. That I will give an account for how it goes with you. Whether I've trained you, whether I've taught you, and all of my staff, you will too, so enjoy the wait. Oh, there's a beautiful reward and great responsibility. You look at the Apostle Paul's life when he gives a biography of all he's been through. Shipwrecked twice, we only know about one in the Word. A day and the night at sea, we don't even really hear about that. Naked, hungry. He's whipped three times, 40 lashes minus one. Three times. Do you have any idea what his body looked like? Jesus was whipped 40 lashes minus one by the bulls of Bashan, which is from the Psalms. Really, those Roman guards that whipped Jesus are not normal Roman guards. They were bulls of Bashan. Bulls of Bashan are wild, demonized animals. They look like they're demonized. So when the psalmist said the bulls of Bashan surrounded me, he's talking about the Roman guards that surrounded him and tore at his flesh. It's a picture that Satan had filled these guards that whipped Jesus. It wasn't just normal men trying to do their duty. It was demon-inspired, filled guards whipping flesh off of the back of Jesus. Paul's whipped three times. Three times he had that happen. Three times he's beaten with rods. And at the end of that, he says, and I face the daily burden of the churches. After all that list of persecution, he says, and I face the daily burden and my concern for all the churches. That's a pastor. That's an apostolic pastor. I don't know that I know that. I think I know that at times. The Lord wants me to know it more. And he wants you to know the weight and the burden to fulfill the call of God in your life. You will stand before God. See, I don't like that. I know. That lame, weak sauce Christianity that's in the Western culture doesn't talk about this. So they say we don't have people living holy and blameless lives of passion. We have sermonettes making Christianettes. I'm just scared of preaching that way. I ain't never gonna preach that way. Why? Well, I love you and I'm concerned about me. Hey, what about me? I'm gonna stand before him. Listen, and if you decide to live a life that's half-hearted and you make it to heaven, And you hear, well, what happened? Just don't tell him you came to my church, all right? Fair? All right, it's a joke. I'm joking. Obviously, the Lord knows everything. All right. But we are mostly concerned not about eternity. We're concerned mostly about temporal things. Concerned about the batteries in our remote controls, and now our remote controls are plugged in with USBs, or we can work them on our phones. And my gosh, you've only got one bar. I only have one bar. Why doesn't AT&T get a grip? For God's sake! I mean, it's only been one bar. My God. We're so concerned about the temperature, so concerned about comfortability, when most of the world hopes and prays, maybe in their pagan way, for another bowl of rice. You live in America, greatest country in the world. God is the one that's made our country great. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 20, verse 26, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. Can you say that? You know, he was faithful to, I've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. Oh, may we all be able to say that. Come on, lift your hand and say, oh God, help me to fulfill my vision for my life. That's a beautiful thing. Powerful message. I'm almost done. Gotta be certain and convinced of certain realities. Truth, biblical truth of what Jesus did for us. Christ's love compels us, the Apostle Paul says to the church in Corinth. For we're convinced in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, for we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Verse 15, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. I'm going to read that again. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, and he died for all, who? Jesus. Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him, for Christ, for Jesus, who died for them and was raised again. Yes. That's who you and I are supposed to live for every day. Every time you look at the cross, you see the love of God, you see the Son of God hanging there. I remember when I was first born again, driving home, everything was a cross. Everywhere I looked was a cross. Telephone poles are crosses, and on doors there's crosses, and I saw crosses on people's necks, and I saw crosses in the ground, and I saw crosses everywhere. It's like I never saw a cross before that, it seems, but now I saw them everywhere. May you see them everywhere, and may they remind you that you've been redeemed. May they remind you of the vision that God has for you, for your life, for your church, for Kings. That the whole world should be redeemed. The whole world should know. The whole world should have a visitation. The whole world should be born again. And the only way that they will know is that we lift our voices, that we share out of our heart and our encounter, that we give them an experience of heaven, that they come to know Jesus. That young man's getting saved. If he's not saved already, that testimony you gave that young man. You plant seeds and God brings in a harvest. Be devoted to Christ. I'm almost done. Powerful word. Be devoted. Everybody say, be devoted. Verse 24 of Acts 20. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Wow. Live a life of vision. See yourself as a servant. My time is up. See yourself as a servant. He says in the text that I'm a servant. That's where we're all supposed to be. Servant leadership. Jesus was a servant. Paul talks about that in Romans 1, Galatians 1, Philippians 1, Titus 1, Colossians 4, 1 Timothy 4, and Jude 1. A servant of Christ, a servant of Christ, I'm a servant of Christ, I'm a servant of Christ. Can you say that? Sometimes I think we forget. Be a part of a team. Be a part of a team in this apostolic church. You say, well, I don't have much to offer. Well, little becomes much in the hand of God. I could hardly tie my shoes when I first came into this place. Couldn't handle my money right. Didn't know how to be a husband. Didn't know how to be a father. Didn't know how to be a son. I was broken. I've learned those things. Couldn't even look people in the face. I was so filled with shame. That's just my story. I don't know what yours is. Not declaring that I've laid hold of it, for forgetting that which lies behind, I press on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I call you out to say, be a people of vision. Be someone who's filled with vision, filled with purpose. Don't let life just ride by and check out. Well, you don't know what I come from. No, I don't, but I know the one who called you is able to change everything. He's able to heal you, able to deliver you, able to set you free. And God doesn't make junk. He doesn't make mistakes. He just puts an enemy to whisper in your ear to say that you're worth nothing. Tries to tell you that all of your past, all of your history disqualifies you. It does not. It does not. God will take all of your past and all of your history and step over it by the blood of Jesus and qualify you as somebody who's made new, somebody who's a new creation. The past is gone, the old is gone, the new has come. He writes your name, come on, in the Lamb's book of life, and he fills you full of the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He can take you and use you as a trophy of his grace. He can take the Apostle Paul, who is a Christian killer, and gave his report, gave his approval of the first martyr, and took him who was blind and broken and transformed him to be so powerfully used. God can use you. But you got to take a step towards him. First, in receiving Jesus. Second, get on a team. Get plugged in and serve. You always say that. I know. So get obeying. Come on, somebody say, do it.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.